All right, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So we find ourselves this week in Kapitel Lamed, chapter 30. Now, the truth is, we've done Kapitel Lamed before. We actually did it about 3 years ago. We went a little bit out of order because I actually did it for Hanukkah. So, but I'd like to go back, but when we did it 3 years ago, which I'm sure everybody remembers like yesterday, I didn't remember it. So I figured if I didn't remember it, we're kind of safe. But the truth is, last time when we did it, we really did it with a heavy focus on Hanukkah, based on the idea that this is the kapitel, this is the chapter of Psalms that we recite every morning after davening during the course of Hanukkah. So this time I'd like to go through it just by analyzing the kapitel itself without really a focus on Hanukkah, just a more general focus in terms of what the message, impact, and meaning of this particular kapitel is. We dedicate our learning this morning, Le'ilui Nishmas, Shaya Gross, Shalom Yeshaya, Ben Rabbi Yitzchak Mordechai Fishel, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah and his family in the Chama. So we begin with number one, Perek Lamed in Ka'in Tehillim. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. Of course, again, it's always exciting when we come to a kapitel like this, because the truth is, there, we always feel a specific affinity towards a kapitel with which we are a little bit more familiar with. So again, so this is a kapitel that is part of Shacharis each and every day. So Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid, a song, a song of dedication of the house of David. Aramimcha Hashem ki delisani, velo simachta oivayli. I will exalt you, Hashem, for you have raised me up. You have not allowed my enemies to rejoice over me. Hashem Elokai, Hashem my God, shivati alecha, vatir po'ini. I've cried out to you and you have healed me. Hashem ha'elisa min sha'ol nafshi, chiyisani miyar divar. O Lord, you have brought my soul from the grave. You have revived me from the descent into the pit. Zamula Hashem chasidov, v'hodu l'zecher kodsho. Sing to the Lord, his pious ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Kirega biapo, chayim birtzono, be'erev yalim bechi ulabokerina. For his wrath lasts but a moment. Life results from his favor. In the evening, weeping may tarry, but in the morning, there is still joyful singing. V'ani amarti bishalvi balamot liolam. And I said in my tranquility, I will never falter. Hashem birtzoncha hemanata laharios, histarta fanecha hayisi nivhal. O Lord, with your will you set up my mountain to be might. You hid your countenance and I became frightened. Elecha Hashem ekra, to you Hashem I call out. Ve'el Hashem, excuse me. Ve'el Hashem eschanon, and to the Lord I will supplicate. Ma betza bedami, what gain is there in my blood? Beriditi al shachas, in my descent to the grave. Hayod cha afar, hayagi damitecha. Will the dust thank you? Will it recite your truth? Shema Hashem mechanini, Hashem heye ozerli. Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me, O Lord, my helper. Hafachta mispedi lamacholi, pitachta sakiva ta'azreni simcha. You have turned my lament into dancing for me. You loosened my sackcloth and girded me with joy. Leman yizamercha kavod velo yidom, Hashem Elokai liolam odeka. So that my soul will sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will thank you forever. So the obvious question we begin with every single shir is, what's the theme of this kapitel? What would you say? What's the theme? The truth is, we go back to our say. I know everyone got a little rattled from last week, because last week, you know, Kapitel Chavtes was a dramatically different theme. This is pretty much back to business as normal as far as the Davidic thematic overtone works. So what's the theme of this kapitel? Right. I'm in distress. And again, there's a whole bunch of different distress over here. It's not even clear exactly what David HaMelech's distress is. There seems to be a distress from sickness. I've cried out to you and you have healed me. Vatir po'eini, I was sick. There seems to be a distress from death. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I descended into the depths and you brought me back. There seems to be a general distress. I'm frightened. But again, distress. Physical distress, emotional, we'll see all the different types of distress. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of the day, you always come to my rescue. That's part number one. Part number two, which again is a theme that we find often in Tehillim, but again, it's quite dramatically pronounced over here, of David HaMelech ultimately transitioning from distress into joy. Hafachta mispadi lemacholi. You have turned my lament. You have turned my mourning literally into dancing. Not just that you've saved me, because again, that's different. To say that I've been in distress and you saved me is one thing. I did not fall prey to my distress. I did not lose myself in my difficult circumstances. David HaMelech is saying something even stronger over here. Not only did I not lose myself, but you actually transformed my circumstances from something negative into something positive. So those are the general thematic overtones. It's kind of like the panoramic view of the capital. Of course, when we look at this capital, our natural assumption is that the bias that the capital refers to, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, what bias are we referring to? The Beis HaMikdash. That's what we normally assume. That's why, by the way, that's why we recite this capital during Chanukah. Because Chanukah, remember, what do we celebrate? We celebrate two major miracles. We celebrate the fact that we were able to overcome the Syrian Greeks, the Syrian Greek Empire, which at that point in time was, remember, the mightiest empire. Well, it was multiple empires that were split off, but the section that we fought against, the Syrian Greeks, which was not the entire Greek Empire, but we overcame the Syrian Greeks, that was major. And number two is we rededicated the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, remember, again, fell into idolatrous use. The Greeks profaned it in many different ways. And we rededicated the Beis HaMikdash for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As such, we recite this capital, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. This was the song of dedication of the house of David. And so we make the automatic assumption that the house that's being referred to over here is the Beis HaMikdash. What's the problem? David HaMelech didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the major issue we have to try to understand, which the truth is, we back up a little bit. The fundamental question becomes, what house are we talking about? What bias are we referring to over here that David HaMelech is dedicating here in this particular capital? So I want to share with you a couple of different approaches. Take a look at number two. So the Malbim takes a dramatically different approach to this capital, and he says the following. Shir Chanukah Sabayis, HaMizmor Kulo Yusod Loseis Hoda'a Bechaloso V'Yimei Mechalyo. We will discuss David HaMelech was seriously ill for a particular period of his life. I'm not talking about when he was old and dying. We're talking about that David HaMelech was sick, very sick, like deathly ill, for a period of 6 months in his life. We will discuss when that was and why that was. The Malbim explains that David HaMelech wrote this capital after he was healed from that life-threatening illness. Amizmar kulo yusod, lo seis hoda'a bechaloso, v'yichim mechalyo. David HaMelech wrote this capital as a song of thanksgiving to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was healed from his sickness. V'lo nimtza bo shum inyan mechanukah sabayis. But says the Malbim, if that's so, and by the way, that fits beautifully with everything except for what? For Pasuk Aleph. Because the truth is, the rest of the Pasuk speaks about sickness, speaks about salvation, speaks about coming near to death and yet being pulled back from the edge just at the last moment. So that makes perfect sense. Except, says the Malbim, what do you do then with the opening phrase of the capital? Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. What consecration, what dedication of a home are we speaking about if this is talking about David HaMelech being healed from illness? And says the Malbim so beautifully, Umevuar, I mean number two, second line, right after the question mark, Umevuar, Shabayis Hamuskar Po Hu Abayis Hamashali. So says the Malbim, that the bias, the home that is being referred to over here, is not a literal home, but rather is a metaphorical home. So what is the metaphorical home? He says, Hu aguf shehu ma'on lenefesh, ubayis laha'a adam hapinimi, hashochin v'dar bekirbo. The body is called a home. What is the body a home for? The body is a home for the soul. You know, this gets into an interesting discussion in Judaism, which is not our topic for today. There are two ways, but if it were, I would tell you the following. Right? There are two ways that a person could define themselves. A person could define themselves primarily as a body that houses a soul. So my body is of primary importance, and my body happens to house a soul. Or a person could define themselves as a soul that primarily a soul that happens to be housed by a body. Now, that is not a question of semantics. That is a very important definition that becomes the guiding light for how you live your life. If you are primarily a body, then by definition, that will inform the decisions you make, that will inform the directions you take, and that will inform the goals you set, the aspirations you have for yourself. If, however, on the other hand, you are primarily a soul, then that, by definition, changes the entire trajectory of your existence. The truth is, most people define themselves how? As bodies. Again, and that's not because we're evil, that's not because we're negative, it's just because we're material beings. So most of us, at the end of the day, define ourselves as physical beings, and as such, spend the bulk of our lives nurturing and nourishing the physical. Now, even if you define yourself as a soul, you still have to nurture and nourish the physical, because at the end of the day, it's that physicality that allows for your soul to interact with this world, which is very important. But says the Malam so beautifully, the body, the truth is a home, which is also very important, because what is the Malam saying? You know, what's a home? What's a home? Is a home an ends or a means? It depends who you ask, right? So for many people, their home is their ends. And that's why, again, they put every little last bit of koach into their home. Again, nothing wrong with making a beautiful home. Nothing wrong with enjoying all the beautiful, wonderful creature comforts of the physical world. But the shaila is why you're doing it. Why you're doing it. So a person puts their resources, material and emotional, into building a home because I want to have a place for achnasas archim, for having guests. I want to have a place so I could have, you know, different congregating things for chesed. There are plenty of ways you could use your home for higher, then that's fine. Person makes a home because I just want to have a nice house. That's the goal. Then by definition, a person has really missed the mark. So it says the Malbim, the body is a home for the soul. The body is a home. The body is not an ends. The body is the means. The physical. See, the beauty of Judaism, and I've said this many times, is we are not an ascetic religion. You know, other religions believe that in order to become close to God, you have to swear off everything physical. Swear off everything physical, everything material, every physical relationship. Those things will keep you from God. We don't believe that. In fact, we believe just the opposite. We believe that the material world is the way, is our conduit, it's our avenue for our soul to interact with this world. If I don't have a body, then how can my neshama do anything in this world? The answer is it can't. What happens when you no longer have a body? You're dead. Well said, right? You're dead. Meaning life ends. You go to Shemayim. What do you do in Shemayim? What are you doing in Shemayim? The truth is, you should know, we actually don't look forward to Olam Haba. It's an interesting thing. You know, if you notice, like, when somebody says, oh, I can't wait to get to Olam Haba, so there's something wrong with that individual. That's not a Jewish outlook, right? Olam Haba, death, is something that we fight tooth and nail against. We don't embrace death. We accept death as a reality. But we do not look forward to Olam Haba, because what do you do in Olam Haba? What do? Pretty much nothing. You sit and you exist based on the merits of what you have accumulated during your lifetime in this world. You could be an advocate, you could be a Melitz Yosher, but the truth is, life in the world to come is wonderful because you have close proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But remember what the Mishnah Avos says, the Gemara says, Yofesha Achos, one moment in this world of meaningful and productive living is worth more than an eternity in the world to come. That is such a profound statement by Chazal. You could accomplish millions of times more in this world, in 1 hour of meaningful living, than you could accomplish in an eternity in the world to come. So the body, therefore, is the home for the soul. The soul resides in this body. This body is important because it's what allows me to accomplish something in this world. And therefore, says the Malbim, Huagof, he says, Ki anefesh ha'adam ba'emes, Ki anefeshu ha'adam ba'emes. Because says the Malbim, like we were just saying before, the real essence of man is his soul. The real essence of man is a soul. V'haguf ha'chomri, hurak bayis chomer, l'shivta kol yimei hayosa b'metzuda. And the soul simply is the place that, the body is the place that houses the soul, as long as the soul is here in this world. So therefore, ve'eis chala, az rafafu amude ha'bayis u'michonosav. So says the Malbim, that when a person becomes ill, so how do we describe illness? How can we metaphorically describe illness? The foundation of the home has become unstable. When a person becomes ill and there's an existential threat to life, there's an existential threat to the body, that is often called, again, the foundation of the home is no longer stable. And therefore, once a person is healed, nivna habayis al tilo, v'yashiv l'mei alumav. And therefore, what happens when a person is healed from sickness? What do we call that? We call that we have restabilized or rededicated the house. Lochin, tzien sham hashir b'shem chanukas habayis l'david, Rotze lomar beis David ha'atzmi ma'onaf shoshen ischanik behirav oso. So it says the Malam so beautifully. Mizmor shir chanukah asabayis lo David. This was a song that David sang when his home was rededicated. What home are we referring to? His body. David HaMelech was sick. David HaMelech was deathly ill, was on the cusp of again leaving this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu healed him. David's body, David's home was rededicated, and he sang this song of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when that body was rededicated. Okay, that's the Malbim. So what does that have to do with the Beis HaMikdash? Nothing. Nothing. It's not about the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know. The Malbim would have to explain why we say it during Hanukkah. Okay, it's a kasha for the Malbim. At the end of the Malbim says, nothing to do with any kind of physical home. Has to do with, this was the song of praise, the song of salvational deliverance that David HaMelech sang when he was healed from his six-month illness. Number three, show you a different approach. Rashi, on the other hand, thinks differently. Rashi says, Shir Chanukah Sabayis, Sheyomruhu, Halevim bechanukah sabayis b'nei Shlomo. So Rashi understands that no, David HaMelech wrote this particular psalm for one purpose, and that was that when Shlomo would build the Beis HaMikdash, David wanted this song to be sung at the time when they dedicated the temple in the days of Shlomo his son. Okay, so Rashi clearly disagrees with the Malbim, and Rashi understands that no, the bayis being referred to over here is the Beis HaMikdash. The question, of course, becomes then, what's the meaning of the psalm? Remember, again, very nice that the opening phrase of the psalm discusses a home, which Rashi understands to mean a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, but the rest of the psalm, the rest of the kapitel, has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. The rest of the kapitel fits in beautifully with the Malbim's construct. It's about sickness, it's about illness, it's about death, and it's about deliverance. Why? What does this have to do with the Beis HaMikdash? Why does David want this song at the time when the Beis HaMikdash was dedicated? So look at the Eben Ezra. Number four. The Eben Ezra writes, and we're going to see now, the Eben Ezra, the Radak, and the Gemara are all going to be working off Rashi's assumption that the Bais over here really means the Beis HaMikdash. So look what the Eben Ezra writes in number four. Mizmor Chanukah HaBayis, Liish Omrim, Shetziva David, Sheyinagnu Hamshorim Zehamizmor, Bechanukah HaBayis HaRishon, Veyishorim Bechanukah HaBayis HaSheni, O HaShlishi, Ki Dima, So the Eben Ezra explains, first the Eben Ezra comments according to Rashi, that Rashi, if I agree with you, that this capital is in fact a song of dedication for the temple. Which temple? So some say it's the first, some say it's the second, and what's incredibly intriguing is that some say it's the third. It's the third Mehira B'Yameinu. So interesting enough, so what does the rest of the capital have to do with dedication of the Beis HaMikdash? So the Eben Ezra explains, because galus, diaspora, is often compared to illness. And therefore, again, what David is saying is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the day will come when you will heal us from our thousand-year-old illness. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when that day comes, Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. When that day comes that you heal us from that illness called diaspora, called galus, called dispersion, this is the song we will sing. But then he goes on. Four bays. But the Eben Ezra says, to be honest, I disagree with that. I mean, he says it, and then he disagrees with it. Because really what he's commenting in 4 Aleph is really in accordance with Rashi's approach. But he says, I happen to think you have to take a different approach. Interestingly enough, so the Eben Ezra says, but I think David HaMelech actually sang this song when he built for himself a beautiful palace. David, remember again, as I mentioned, I think in our last year, or in some other previous year, David HaMelech conquers Yerushalayim. Remember, from the Yevusi, from the Jebusites, it was an impenetrable city. Impenetrable city. And oh no, I mentioned this on our Tefillah Shir on Monday night. So remember, interestingly enough, how do you get into Yerushalayim? So remember, for years, Shaul HaMelech never conquered Yerushalayim. Yehoshua never conquered Yerushalayim. Why? It was a Yevusi stronghold. So how does David HaMelech get into Yerushalayim? So amazingly enough, if you ever have the opportunity to visit Ir David, if you ever go to the city of David, so you could actually walk through the water tunnels. Those are the very same water tunnels that David HaMelech took a group of soldiers into and penetrated the walls of Yerushalayim. Those are the very same water tunnels. So amazingly enough, and then what happens after he conquers Yerushalayim? He makes a palace for himself. He makes a palace, a Beis HaRazim, a beautiful home made out of cedar wood. So it says the Ibn Ezra, David HaMelech wrote this capital right after he built his palace. Okay, and the Ibn Ezra's proof to that, by the way, Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. LeDavid. Says the Ibn Ezra, there is no mention over here about a house of God. Whose house are we talking about over here? This was David's home. So he went ahead and he made this beautiful palace for himself. And then he went ahead and he made this capital. Why? Va'osa hazman chala David. Now again, the Ibn Ezra links this back to the Malbim. So David was sick at that time. Why was he sick? V'yimei chalyo v'yom Rabbi Moshe ki David his abel al asher amar lo nosan ki lo yivna habayis l'shem. So listen to this. Why was David sick? So this is different than the Malbim. We're going to see the Malbim describes King David's six-month illness, which we'll get to in just a little bit. According to Ibn Ezra, that's not why David was sick. David was sick for a different reason. David was suffering from emotional distress. What was the emotional distress? He built for himself a beautiful home. And the Navi says that right after he built himself a beautiful home, he says to himself, it's not right. I'm living in this beautiful palace, and the Arul and the Ark of God was actually sitting in a tent. See, he says to the Navi, let's build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Navi says to David, yes. Nasan HaNavi says to David, great idea. That night, God appears to Nasan HaNavi and says, no, we're not building a Beis HaMikdash now. So Nasan has to go back to David and tell David, I know I told you yes, but the truth is, again, I automatically assume God would be on board with this project. God is not on board with this project. You are not going to build it. Says the Ibn Ezra, when Nasan HaNavi tells David that he is not going to build a Beis HaMikdash, David literally becomes ill. He becomes ill. He gets sick, and we'll discuss why that is. He literally becomes, this is not physical illness, but this is emotional distress. He becomes emotionally distressed over the idea that he will not be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. However, v'ka'asher amar lo, ki Shlomo b'no yivne habayis. But when the Navi tells him, don't be upset, your son Shlomo, he will build the Beis HaMikdash. As his azer simcha tachas evlo. Then David HaMelech becomes jubilant. He rejoices instead of mourning. Why? Ki b'no kamohu. Because his son is an extension of him. His son is just like him. V'lo yecharfeyu ha'oyev. And his enemies will not disparage him. We'll discuss what that means in a little bit. V'amar ki yagon ha'nefesh nimsha l'choli hagun v'yoser kasha k'derech ruach ish yichalke mechelo. So listen to this. So Ibn Ezra has a dramatic interpretation of this capital. Mizmor shir chanukah sabayis l'David. David sang a song when he finished completing his own home. Why was David ready to sing a song when he completed finishing his own home? Because it was such a nice house. Why did he want to sing a song? Because what was he ready to do? He was ready to build the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So now what's interesting is you have to put a little parenthesis over here. So I began to sing. I was so excited when I completed my own home because now I realized it was my time to complete the home of God. Parentheses. And then the Navi told me that I was not to do it. That God did not want me building his temple. And what happened? Hashem Elokai, Shivati, I'm sick. I'm sick over it. I'm upset over it. I'm distressed over it. I'm broken over it. And then in Psukim, Gimel through Yud Beis, David HaMelech discusses, I literally became ill. Not physical illness, but emotional distress over the fact that you told me that I cannot build the Beis HaMikdash. But amazingly enough, what happens in Pasuk Yud Beis? Hafachta mispadi l'macholi. Then what happens in Pasuk Yud Beis? You have turned my lament into dancing. Pitachta saki, literally you've loosened my sackcloth. Vata azreini simcha, you've girded me with joy. What happened? What changed? He was told that Shlomo is going to build it. Sakhadish Baruch Hu, when you gave me the news that Shlomo was going to build the Beis HaMikdash, it alleviated my distress. It took away my pain. I would have liked to have done it, but if I can't do it, and we'll discuss why he can't do it, if I can't do it, at least the knowledge that my son is going to do that, that allowed me to feel incredible simcha, incredible happiness. Yes, Chaya.
No.
This is different. Remember, again, so I mentioned before, this is not the illness of the Malbim. The Malbim's illness was talking about 6 months. Remember, the Ibn Ezra is not referring to physical illness. The Ibn Ezra is referring to emotional distress. Two different things. We'll come back to David HaMelech's six-month illness in just a little bit. Yes?
You're saying he didn't get both of those prophecies in the same night. If you would have said you can't, but Shlomo would, you can't do that.
It could be. The truth is, I don't know. Or it could just be David HaMelech kind of working through his emotions. You know, part of the greatness of Tehillim, you know, this is the great anomaly of David HaMelech. The great anomaly of David HaMelech is here you have this fierce warrior. And you would assume that such a fierce warrior, how would he interact with emotions? What would you assume? That he wouldn't, right? I mean, to be honest, and I'm a little bit outnumbered here. But again, you know, if most men have difficulty being expressive emotionally, all the more so, again, someone who is a fierce and mighty warrior. And yet David HaMelech is such an anomaly because there is virtually no one who is more emotionally expressive in all of Tanakh than David HaMelech. So it could be that Nasan Navi tells him both of these things in the same sentence. But what is David HaMelech doing over here? He's working through his feelings. I was so happy because I wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. Then I was told that I can't. And that set me into an emotional tailspin. I'm distressed. I'm broken. I'm ruined. And then you know what? I picked myself back up because I knew that Shlomo was going to build the Beis HaMikdash. So how long it takes, I don't know.
So does that mean that Mizmar Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, according to this interpretation, means that at the end when he worked out his emotions, he was actually had this song of praise for the...
It could be, or I think even easier, it's a continuum. Mizmar Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, according to the Ibn Ezra, means this is the song I sang, I wanted to sing when I built my own home. Because I thought now that after I built my own home, I was going to be able to build a Beis Hashem. Then the kapitel goes on, but I was wrong. So what started out as a mizmor then became terribly emotionally depressive and oppressive. I felt like I was near death. I felt that I was at the end of my rope, and then I picked myself back up. So what David HaMelech is giving us windows, it's a continuum. It begins on a high, it dips into a very significant low, and then he picks himself back up at the end.
Wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash before his own home?
Would he have... So that's a good question. I don't know. Why did he build his own home first? Maybe he's a human being. I don't know. He needs somewhere to live. Somewhere to live. Yeah. I don't know the answer. It's a good question. Take a look at number 5. So remember again, so far, understand what we have. So we have in approach number 1, the Malbim, who explains this has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, but again, has to do with David HaMelech being physically ill, then being healed, and then again, the Lashon of Bayis, the home being referred to over here, is not the Beis HaMikdash, but is the home of one's physicality. Now, the Ibn Ezra explaining, no, this is about the Beis HaMikdash, and the sickness that's being referred to over here is David HaMelech's emotional distress. He's emotionally distressed about the fact that he's not going to be able to build the temple, and the only way that he's healed is how, is when he's told that ultimately, his son Shlomo is going to build it. Look at number 5, the Radak. The Radak takes this a step further. 5 Aleph, Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid, Chibru David, Shiyomruhu BeChanukas Beis HaMikdash. So the Radak echoes what Rashi said. That no, this was a song, the Bayis referred to over here is the Beis HaMikdash. That David HaMelech goes ahead and created this capital, that it should be sung when the temple was dedicated. Va'afapi, Shein Bazeh HaMizmor Zecher HaBayis. Even though again, there is no mention of the Beis HaMikdash in this capital except for the fact that the word bayis, the word house, is mentioned in the opening phrase. Nevertheless, Hizkirbo Slichas Pshav. What does this capital focus on? It focuses on David HaMelech's forgiveness at the hand of God. Shayuchoshvim Oivav, Shalo Tiskayim Lo Hamalucha Uluzara Acharav, Lo Onesh Oso Avon. Because remember, David HaMelech's detractors, his enemies, felt that his monarchy... Remember, David HaMelech was supposed to be different than Shaul in many ways. But one of the most dramatic ways was David HaMelech was supposed to start what we call a dynastic monarchy. A dynastic monarchy means a monarchy that is handed down from father to son, father to son, father to son, assuming that the son is fit. People thought that after that sin refers to what? Bathsheba. People thought that after that particular event, that was the end of David's dreams for a dynastic monarchy. And there is no way that the monarchy would continue to his son, especially given the fact that what? That the son who was the apple of David's eye was which son? Was the son that he had with Bathsheba. So people figured there's absolutely no way that a child that came from that union would be the future king of the Jewish people. Va'afa pi she'ne'emar lo ayedei Navi, ki b'no she'yimloch acharav hu yivna habayis, lo hayu ma'aminim she'yuchal lios, ki ben she'yulat lo me'osa ishe'yiyem melech, v'yivna beis ha'mikdash la'ashem she'yem makum slicha v'chapara. Even though the Navi told David that Shlomo, who was the product of the union between David, remember, this was the second son that it had with Bathsheba. The first son died in infancy. No one believed that a child that would come from that union could ever be the one who would be chosen by God and would be the one who would build the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, again, even though God told David already at the time that Shlomo was born, remember, David and Bathsheba name him Shlomo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu renames him. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu rename him? Yedidya. Yedidya. Yedidya means what? Yedid means beloved one of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu even tells David, I love this child, this product of you and Bathsheba, but the people still cannot wrap, which is, it's actually understandable from their perspective also, they could not wrap their head around this idea that the child of David and Bathsheba would somehow become the future king of the Jewish people and would be the one who would build the temple. Take a look at paragraph Beis, 5 days. Ukishemarat Adonia b'sof yamav, v'ratza limloch mi'atzma b'lo rishus, hayusvurim shelo yesh shlomo melech, v'cheivan shamelech, וראו כי יצליח הדבר, כי הכושר מהאדוניה לא עמדו ממרדם וברכו איש לי או עליו, הכירו כל ישראל כי מהשם היא מלכוס שלמה. וכיוון שרצה, I'm just going to read 2 more lines, then we'll translate, כי בן שנועה לו מאוסה אישה יהיה מלך כל ישראל, יודו באמס כי נמחה לדוד אוסו אבר מכילה גמורה ושלמה. והרה לשלמה צורס, okay, so stop here for just a moment. So it says the Radak, what's amazing is now, now, the interesting part is that even when you believe in something, if the people around you keep on casting doubt on it, and the people around you keep on chipping away your confidence in something, it's only natural that's what? That you're going to begin to doubt it as well. So as much as God tells you that Shlomo is Yedidya, that Shlomo is going to be the one, that Shlomo is going to build the Beis HaMikdash, when you live in a society, when you live, even the people around you are telling you, remember, again, we've seen how the people treated David, and they called David an adulterer for the rest of his life. When the people around you can't believe it, it begins to erode your own confidence, even in the Dvar Hashem. And so remember, when David HaMelech is on his deathbed, he's dying. He's literally dying. His son, Adonia ben Chagis, the son that he fathered with one of his concubines, rebels and declares himself king. And that rebellion is very quickly crushed. And David HaMelech realizes now that he is going to see. Remember, David crowns Shlomo while David is still alive. He doesn't wait until he dies. He wanted to actively pass down the monarchy while he was still alive. So when David sees that Shlomo now is going to be the king, and he realizes again that really it is going to be a dynastic monarchy, and once he sees that Shlomo is going to be king, he also realizes that what? That Shlomo is going to go ahead and build the Beis HaMikdash. This gives him an incredible sense of joy. Lefichach, chiber, mizmor shir chanukas habayis, al haderech shehiskir bo slichas chatov shehi refuas nafsho ki bazeh ha'inyan no da haslicha l'chaladam. So the Radak says something amazing. The Radak says, what is this capital? This capital, says Radak agrees with Rashi, that David HaMelech wrote this capital to be sung at the time that the Beis HaMikdash would be dedicated. Why? David HaMelech lives his life, as we're going to see in just a moment from the Gemara, under the cloud that he had committed a horrible wrong and had not been forgiven by God. The only time that David would truly be forgiven by God was when? Was the truth is the first part is when Shlomo would become king. According to the Radak, when did David go ahead and write this capital? He wrote this capital in his final days. In his final days. When what? When he saw that the crown had been actively passed to his son Shlomo. He saw that as a sign of divine forgiveness. Sing this song when the Beis HaMikdash is dedicated. Why? So David HaMelech says, I've been sick all of my life. What kind of sickness is he referring to? Spiritual distress. What's the nature of this spiritual distress? We will see. David HaMelech lives his life with the great doubt of, has he really ever been forgiven by God for the events with Bathsheba? Has HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever actively forgiven him for everything that happened? I've been spiritually sick my entire life because how do I know what God really feels about me? Everybody around me calls me a sinner. Everybody around me calls me an adulterer. Everybody around me tells me that my monarchy, my children are doomed. And remember again, David HaMelech has a highly dysfunctional family. That's not saying anything bad about David. It's just a reality about David. Again, whether that's reflective on him is a different discussion. But there's no question there are profound issues within David HaMelech's family. We have the episode with Amnon and Tamar. We have the episode with Avshalom. Crazy, crazy stuff all happening within the family of David. And understand, many attributed the breakdown of the Davidic family to David HaMelech's own indiscretions with Bathsheba. They say, what kind of role model are you? What kind of patriarchal presence are you? Because remember again, what happens right not long after the episode of David and Bathsheba, what happens? Amnon rapes his half-sister Tamar. Who heard of stuff like that? Where do you hear about? Now again, there's a dispute among the commentaries if in fact she was a half-sister or not, were they related or not, but at least according to some, they were half-brother and half-sister. They shared the same father. That is such a breach in morality. You know, if Amnon would have been a little bit more, you know, we'll call it morally uninhibited. In other areas, okay, not that it's a forgivable offense, but to engage in what could be deemed as an act of incest, it's so abhorrent. It's so off the charts. And people said, okay, makes sense. Look at who the patriarch is. Look at what he did. He acted immorally. There's a trickle-down effect into his family. What does Avshalom do? He rebels against his father. David flees Yerushalayim. And what does Avshalom do? Avshalom gathers his father's 10 concubines and he rapes each of them. He violates each of them. In public view. Where does that come from? Where does that kind of behavior, such immorality that is almost off the charts, these are your father's wives, where does that come from? People said it came from David. People said that David, so this is what David has to live with. This is what King David has to contend with throughout his entire life. People calling him immoral, people calling him base, and people saying that his immorality has seeped into the very fabric of his family. Because David says to us, the reader, you know, I've been sick my whole life. I've been spiritually distressed. We're not talking about now the 6-month sickness. We'll go back to that in just a moment. I've been spiritually distressed all my life because, you know, I made a mistake, says David. I made a mistake. And I made my peace with God. And I made my peace with Bathsheba. And I did my tshuva. And you know what? I can't seem to regain my footing. I can't seem to rehabilitate my image in the eyes of my people. You know, as a monarch, the most important thing you need is what? You need the respect of your constituents. If your constituents do not respect you, then you cannot lead. Now, amazingly enough, David HaMelech was still able to lead despite all of this. But at the end of the day, David HaMelech says, "Miz Moshir Chanukah Sabayis of David." You know when salvation will be mine? Salvation will be mine when the Beis HaMikdash is built. When my son Shlomo, who is the product of my union with Bathsheba, when that son builds the Beis HaMikdash, that's when salvation will come. Because it's then and only then that people will see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has truly forgiven me. So what happens? Sing this song. Miz Moshir Chanukah Sabayis of David. I want you to sing this song, my son, when you dedicate the temple. Why? Because what does he go on to discuss the rest? I've been so deathly ill throughout my entire life. Not physical illness, not just simple emotional distress, spiritual distress. Spiritual distress that my own constituents, my own people, think me to be such an abhorrent, base, immoral individual. In fact, take a look at number 6. The Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, I've actually quoted to you this Gemara before. The Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin writes, "Vini kesi mi pesha rav." Let me be cleansed from a great transgression. So the Gemara writes, "Amar lefan ribono shel olam mochali al osa avon kulo." David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "God, please forgive me for what happened with Bathsheba. Forgive me for what happened with Bathsheba." So what does David say? So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Amar kavar asid Shlomo bin chalomer v'chachmaso. So look what God says to Shlomo. This is amazing. God says to David, listen, your son Shlomo is interesting. God, obviously, this Gemara is homiletic, so it's not to be understood literally. God is quoting to David from the Sefer that David's son Shlomo will write. Remember again, Shlomo is not even born yet. Shlomo's not even born yet. I want to quote you from Sefer Mishlei. What is Shlomo Melech saying in Sefer Mishlei? Hayechat ish ish b'cheko u'begadav lo tisrefena. Is it possible, can a man take a fire by his chest and his clothes not be burned? Im yahalech ish ala gacholim v'raglav lo tekavena. Could a person walk on coals and his feet not get burned? Kein habo al ishes re'ehu lo yinake kol hanogea bo. So too, one who comes upon his friend's wife, can he be cleansed from all of the iniquity that now clings to him? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David, look, you know, there are certain things that you can't undo. There are certain things, there are certain realities that you create that you can't uncreate, that you can't demolish. You did something. You did something, and this is a reality you've created. Amar lei, kol hachi nitrat hahu gavra. So David says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what do you want from me? Are you telling me now there's no hope? Are you telling me now there's no salvation? I know I made the mistake. Is that it? I'm damned? That's it? There's no salvation? There's no redemption for me? I am forever confined to wallow in this sin? There's nothing left? Amar lo, kibel alecha yisurin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David, are you willing to accept upon yourself suffering? If you willingly accept upon yourself suffering, you can be purged from the effects of this sin. So what happened? Kibel alov. David HaMelech accepted the suffering. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Shisha Chadoshim Nitzdara David. For 6 months, David HaMelech had tzaras. Now understand, when you have tzaras, what happens to you? What happens to you? You are sent outside of the camp. Right, so for half a year, the king is living by himself somewhere outside of Jewish habitation. Shisha v'nistalka hemena shechina, the shechina departed from him, upershu mimenu Sanhedrin. And the members of the Sanhedrin also distanced themselves from King David. Now the Gemara goes on, number 7. Bless you, a different Gemara, but along the same thematic idea. So first of all, by the way, that's the sickness that the Malbim is referring to over here, right? When the Malbim says that David HaMelech was sick for a protracted period, that refers to the 6 months, the half a year, that he was stricken with tzara'as. So in number 7, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos says, Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Mai dechsev, asei imi os letova, v'yiros son ai v'yevoshu. So what does it mean when David HaMelech says in Tehillim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make for me a sign for good, and let my enemies see, and let them be embarrassed. Amar David HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David said to God, Ribono shel Olam, Machol li al osa avon. So remember again, it helps to read number 7 after number 6. Read it as a progression. The first time David HaMelech has this conversation with God of forgive me, so God says to him, essentially, I can't forgive you. David says, you can't forgive me? That can't be the case. Tshuva is part of the very foundational fabric of the Jewish people. So there must be a way for you to forgive me. God says, accept upon yourself suffering. Okay, so now we come to number 7. So now David again comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, forgive me for that sin. Forgive me for the episode of Bathsheba. Amar lo, machal lecha. I forgive you. Amar lo, asei imi os b'chayai. So David says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I apologize. At the risk of sounding ungrateful, I appreciate your forgiveness. Can you give me some type of demonstrative sign that you have forgiven me? Now, why does David need the sign that he's been forgiven? Not for himself. He's just heard from God himself that he's been forgiven. Who does he need this sign for? For everyone else. The people should see that you have forgiven me. Amar lo, so God says to him, b'chayecha eini modia. During your lifetime, I will not give you a sign. B'chayei Shlomo bincha eini modia. But I will give you a sign during the lifetime of your son Shlomo. What happened? Kishebana Shlomo beis hamikdash, bikesh lahachnis aron beis kach yachadashim. Famous Gemara. When Shlomo Melech wanted to dedicate the beis hamikdash, so what happened? He wanted to bring in the aron, and he had to open up the gates. Dovku sharim zebazeh. The gates of the temple would not open. The gates of the temple remained stuck together, would not open up for Shlomo. So Amr Shlomo, Eschim v'abar renonos lanana. Shlomo said 24 kapitlach, 24 tfilos, and yet what? Not the gates wouldn't open. Pasach v'amr su'usharin roshechem, v'naschu pisrei olam. The Yavo Melech HaKavod. So what happens? So Shlomo Melech quotes from Tehillim, open up the gates, literally lift up your head gates, in order that the king of Kavod shall come in. Ratu Basri Lemivalei. So what happened? The gates literally wanted to swallow up Shlomo. The gates thought that the Melech HaKavod that Shlomo was referring to was who? Was himself. And therefore the gates, again, this is all metaphorical. The gates wanted to go ahead and swallow up Shlomo because they felt he was speaking so arrogantly. So he says, one second, Miuze Melech HaKavod, Amr Lahu, Hashem Izos V'Gibor, Chazav Amr Sushar Meshech V'Sob Yisrael V'O Melech HaKavod, Miuze Melech HaShem Gzos, Melech HaKavod Sela, V'Lo Nana. Okay, so the point is now, Shlomo is even invoking the name of God. Open up in the name of God. And what happens? The gates are still not opening. Kevan Sha'amar, listen to this. Hashem Elokim, Shalom Melech now says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Toshev Pnei Meshichecha. Do not turn away from the face of your anointed one. Zochra Lechaste David Avdecha. Remember David. Remember David. Miyad Na'ane. It is only when Shlomo invoked the name of his father David that the gates opened up. Ba'osa Sha'a Nepchu Pnei Kolsone David. In that moment, literally the faces of David's adversaries, of his enemies, became blackened like the bottom of the pot. I guess the bottom of the pot gets a little bit charred because of the heat. So what happens? Their face literally became like ashen, became blackened. Because why? Why did they become blackened? Because they realized that this man that they were persecuting all of these years as an adulterer and as a sinner was in fact a righteous, penitent individual. The Yadu Kala Am the Chol Yisrael Shemachal Lo Shemachla Kadosh Baruch Hu Al Osa Avon. And it was in that moment that the people realized that God had indeed forgiven David for the particular sin he had committed. So look at number 8. Then with this blessing, we'll bring everything together. V'ahinu Dika Amar. So listen. So what's unfolding over here in this capital? Well, actually, let's read number 8. Then we'll bring this all together. V'ahinu Nami Dika Amar Aramimcha Hashem Ki Dilisani. Velo amar ki heli sani. So this is very interesting because in Pasuk Beis, what does David HaMelech say? Aramimcha Hashem ki dilisani. I thank you, Hashem. I will exalt you, Hashem, for you have dilisani. Now, dilisani literally means what? Literally means what? Like, it comes from the word of dalah. Dalah, dalid lamed he means what? To draw. Like to draw water. So aramimcha Hashem ki dilisani, which that's why the English translation over here is, you have raised me up. Asks the Torah Schaim, there would have been a better word. What could David HaMelech said? Arumcha Hashem ki ha'elisani. You have lifted me up. Why does he choose to use the word dilisani? Listen to this. Remez l'sha'arim u'delasos shel beis hamikdash sheniftechu al yado. Amazing enough, says the Torah Schaim, because if you look, what letters do you see in the word dilisani? Dalid, Lamid, Tof, Delas, a reference to the fact that the doors of the Beis HaMikdash would only be opened up in the merit of David HaMelech. So what comes out according to this third approach is something exceptionally profound. Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis of David. David says to his son Shlomo, I'm giving you this kapitel, and I want you to sing this kapitel when you have the privilege to build the Beis HaMikdash. Why, you ask? Aramimcha Hashem, I'll tell you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've taken care of me. Life has not been easy. My entire life, remember again, the whole episode of Bathsheba happened early on in David HaMelech's life. And I've been living in a state of spiritual distress all of these years. The people think I'm no good. You know, there's nothing worse in life than when people think badly of you. Right? And again, when you try, I tried to do everything right, but yet people still have such a poor image of me, such a poor opinion of me. I've done everything in my life, but I had to live in such a state of distress. But Shlomo, the day will come when, Aramimcha Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I praise you, Ki Dilisani, because of the Delas, because of the door. The day will come when my reputation will be redeemed. The day will come when people will see me for who I really am. And that's the meaning of the end of the kapitel as well. Hafachta misbedi l'macholi. The day will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where you will change my mourning into celebration. I won't be there to see it, says David. at least I won't be there to see it in this world. I'll be able to look down on it from Shamayim, and I'll see my reputation rehabilitated and restored in the eyes of the people, but I won't be there with them for that incredible event. That's what's happening over here. David HaMelech, and the truth is very important, because David HaMelech pines for the Beis HaMikdash so badly. Why? Because what's the one thing that David HaMelech wanted more than anything in this world? The one thing that he wanted? One thing. He wanted closure. He wanted closure on the episode with Bathsheba. Right? The truth is there are many answers to that. It's not fair. It's a very open-ended question. Right? He wanted closeness to Hashem. He wanted all these things. But he wanted closure on the episode with Bathsheba. And that's why he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, I know you forgive me. Thank you, God. But can you please give me a sign? And the Ribono Shel Olam tells him, no. No, there'll be a sign, but it's not going to be during your lifetime. It'll be during your son Shlomo's lifetime. And the greatness of David HaMelech was what? Was that despite the fact that he was going to have to live out his life in this world, always under the cloud of suspicion, always under the cloud of having committed wrong and being an evildoer, he drew solace and joy in the fact that what? His forgiveness would come. His forgiveness would come. He wouldn't live to see it. He wouldn't be there to experience it. But he knew it would come. And there are so many incredible lessons that come out from this. First of all, again, and we'll continue with this theme more next week, is that sometimes in life, you have to have patience. You know, we live in a society that has no patience. There is no patience for anything. In fact, if something takes too long, it just means what? It means you're doing it wrong. Is he doing it wrong? Because everything should be able to get done as quickly as possible. That is antithetical to Jewish thinking. We are a people. It often takes us thousands of years to accomplish anything. And even then, and not because we're inept, not because we can't do it, but because we recognize that sometimes the greatest things in life require centuries upon centuries, generations of generations, to be able to come together. First lesson number one is you have to have patience in life. And you have to have patience, by the way, it's true in relationships also, that sometimes, again, we want things, and it's this mindset of instant gratification has had no greater detriment than in the realm of relationships. Things go wrong in a relationship, people want things fixed, and they want it now. What do you see from David HaMelech? Sometimes things go wrong in a relationship, and how long does it take to fix it? How long does it take? It could take a lifetime. It could take a lifetime, but that's okay. If the relationship is meaningful, if the relationship is important, then you roll up your sleeves, you do the hard work, and you hope for the best results. Meaningful things in life require patience. David HaMelech creates a song that he knows is not going to be sung. It's not going to be sung during his lifetime. But yet, he's able to draw solace from the fact that in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come through. In the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me that sign, and the people will know the man I really was. And the amazing part about David, and this will continue with this theme next week, is David HaMelech is able to take future joy and pull it back into his present. Because remember, how does the kapitel end? Hafachta mispedila machali. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't believe it. You're amazing. You've taken my pain. You've replaced it with joy. Right? Pitachta saki vatazveni simcha. You took my sackcloth and I'm dancing. Well, David, what changed? What changed? And what's the answer? Nothing. Except his mindset. Sometimes the power of changing your mindset, the power of patience, is that it allows you the staying power. So nothing's actively changed. But the notion that one day it'll be okay, the notion that somehow one day things will come together, the greatness of David HaMelech is he's able to reach into that distant future, take hold of some of that joy, and pull it back into his presence. That is the power of the Davidic personality. Nothing has actively changed. When I walk into the Beis Medrash, they're still calling me the adulterer. They're still calling me the sinner. But at the end of the day, I know, Ribono Shel Olam, that the day for salvation will come. And the fact that I know that in the future everything is going to be okay, I find a way to reach into that future simcha and allow it, bring it back to my present, and allow it to form and shape the present reality of my circumstances. Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis LaDavid. So again, whether it's David HaMelech going ahead and singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for healing me, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for healing him from his emotional distress, spiritual distress, at the end of the day, this kapitel serves as another example of David HaMelech's strong ability to allow a change of perspective to reshape and reframe circumstances even when nothing has actively changed on the ground. How you perceive the world, how you perceive the circumstances of your life ultimately shape and create the reality in which you exist. All right, we'll stop over here. We're going to continue, Meretz Hashem, this kapitel, kapitel Lamed, and Meretz Hashem one more week next week.
Thank you.